You're listening to episode 272 of Women Worldwide. Did you know that according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, that in the U.S., an average of 20 people experience physical violence from an intimate partner every single minute? This equates to about 10 million abuse victims annually. I've got a guest today who speaks and writes on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Wherever you are in this world, thank you so much for showing up, for being here, and for always sharing. You are helping to grow our network. Now, we realize that the country is opening up, different areas of the world. We're getting used to what is this new normal. So please, as we're doing this, from my team and myself, we just want you to stay healthy and be safe. I know we all have cabin fever and we want to get out there, but stay safe as you do. Okay. And of course, if you're facing any challenges at all, reach out. Tell us how you're feeling. Many of you are tweeting, so you're on Twitter. You're also on Facebook, and you're emailing me too, Deirdre@pureperformancecom.com. We always love to hear from you. All right, let's get to today's show and special guest. Now, the topic is one that we have not touched on in all of our 5 years. I searched the archives. It's domestic violence in the home. Now, I was doing my due diligence, looking for a couple of stats, and I came across something from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and I couldn't believe it. It's that every minute, 20 people experience physical violence from an intimate partner in the United States. That means about 10 million people annually. Abuse victims. And that's probably what's being reported. Now, my special guest today is Lisa Braver-Moss. And she's someone who can speak to domestic violence. And she also writes about it in her new novel, Shrug. Now, I am reading this book. I'm just more than halfway through. And you know the expression, you had me at hello? Well, Lisa had me at hello with Shrug. And it is a book about a young woman and her home life. And she experiences this mix of ideas and impossible demands and explosive violence. Yet at the same time, you feel hope and it's uplifting as she moves toward independence. Lisa is also the author of another book, and that's called The Measure of His Grief. And that was published by Nottam Press, where the other book was published in 2019 by She Writes Press. Lisa has also written for different publications, including Parents, Huffington Post, and there's so much that I could say. But I think it's better that Lisa jumps in now to share her story and advice with you. Lisa, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, you're welcome. Your book is fantastic. It's intense. It's harrowing. At the same time, I find glimmers of inspiration. There's courage. There's hope. So, of course, I want to start off by asking you, did you always know that you wanted to be a writer? What made you become an author?
Well, thank you for that question. I really didn't, I didn't know that I was a writer. I didn't know that I wanted to become a writer at all, let alone a novelist. I really never thought about it or aspired to that as a kid. But I think that had to do with growing up in this environment I'm a survivor of childhood domestic violence, and I want to make that distinction between experiencing it as a child and experiencing it as an adult. This book, Shrug, the novel Shrug, is about a young girl growing up in a family in which there's domestic violence. So her parents are her father is a batterer, and her parents are both violent, actually. And so I wanted to kind of make that distinction. I fortunately, thank God, have not had the experience of having an intimate partner domestic violence situation that I've been through. Consider myself very fortunate about that. But I think because of that kind of upbringing and the chaos that I grew up in, I didn't really have the bandwidth to aspire in that way. To, I want to break out of this and become an author, and write about this. I mean, I never thought of it that way. I thought of it more in a spiritual way, I think. I thought of it more like there's a plan for me. I just don't know what it is yet. And so writing came for me out of this sense of urgency about communicating something that wasn't being talked about. And so anytime I would see something in the world, this started happening in my early 30s, actually. I was not young. That I began to see things in the world that I wanted to write about that I didn't feel were being adequately covered. And that's kind of what gave me the impetus to start writing. It wasn't so much the identity of I want to be a writer as, why isn't anybody talking about this? And I think I should talk about this.
Well, so glad that you did, because
thank you.
I mean, the book is powerful. I mean, that's probably understating. And to see things through Martha, the main character's eyes, and the dynamics of the family, I think that there's so much that she sees and experiences. And, I wonder, what is the main takeaway or takeaways that you wanted people to see through Martha's experience?
I think, I have sort of a didactic agenda, which is, which is not really what fiction is all about. I mean, I'd like this topic to be more openly talked about, because there's a lot of information now about domestic violence, and there are organizations, as you were talking about earlier, that help families like this. There's not a lot in fiction about what it's like to be a kid in that situation.
Right.
And that's why I thought it was a useful, that kind of partly informed my decision that I felt like this story needed to be told. But as far as a takeaway, in fiction, you're trying to entertain, you're trying to inform, but you're trying to entertain, you're hoping, well, at least I'm hoping that it's fun along the way. It's funny. It grabs people. But I think, for me, J.D. Salinger has this wonderful, saying that you think, you look around as a writer and you think about the book that you most would want to read in the world. And then you just sit down shamelessly and write the thing yourself. And it's such a powerful quote. I just
love
it.
That is powerful.
It's wonderful. So I think, I'd like for people who grew up in chaos and who are still struggling day by day in different ways to feel a little bit less alone and to feel a little bit more connected and less ashamed, because I think shame is a tremendous obstacle to one's, fulfillment as a person. And a lot of people that grew up with domestic violence and this kind of situation tend to feel shame, a lot of shame, and maybe are not even aware of it. So, but it's a very crippling kind of thing to drag around with you.
Right.
And so I'd like for those people to feel less ashamed and less alone.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments in the book when there's kindness. And as a reader, you sort of say, oh, like, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but when she wanted the note from her mom because she was sick, and that didn't go very well, and she ends up running out of the house, and she goes to see her principal. And that moment that, you know, he writes that note and has compassion for her so she could get back into class and has, you know, excused absences. When her best friend's brother puts his arm around her, these are just such touching moments amongst all of the chaos. But I really thank you for answering that question. I also wonder, Lisa, your thoughts on, you know, we've been in lockdown, you know, stay at home here in New Jersey and wherever you are in the world. What do you think this whole global pandemic has done to families who are experiencing domestic violence?
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous challenge right now to be together 24/7, and that probably alcohol use is going up and other drug use is going up. I would imagine that it's, and in fact, I think I've read some stuff about this really being an issue, that domestic violence has gone up. I remember I was in Alaska one time, and I was so curious about what it would be like to live through the winter there. And I asked one of the shopkeepers when I was there, you know, what's it like in the winters? And she said, you know, everyone leaves their car keys in their car because car theft is a non-issue. It just doesn't happen. So nobody cares about stealing a car. But domestic violence and alcohol are huge problems,
yes,
especially during those months where there's not very much light. So I would imagine this is just a tremendous problem right now. So I'm really glad we're talking about it.
Oh, I am too. You're so right, because I've seen statistics about the suicides, alcohol abuse, depression in places like Alaska that experience that length of time in darkness. So leaving keys in the car is a way to run out, to have that escape.
Oh, that's true too. I hadn't even thought about that.
That's immediately what came to mind. It also reminded me of, you know, I think about how Martha was able to run out of the house and to go to school. Well, when you're in lockdown, you can't run out of the house and go to school or go to your best friend's house. So those outlets sometimes are not available.
That's right.
Lisa, I'm going to ask you just to hold your thoughts for a moment, because we're actually going to shift our focus over to a little passion project that I've been working on. It stems from a 52 plus week research study, studying millennials and how they show up to their conversations. And I built this model called FEEL, which stands for face your fears, have empathy, live with ethics and good judgment, and unleash the love, and how we need to understand how we do this in our communication. And I thought it would be interesting just to maybe ask you a question around the first part of the model, which is face fears. What would you say to somebody, being that you write and personally have experienced domestic violence, what would you say to somebody about being able to express their fears or communicate their fears?
Express their fears or communicate their fears.
You mentioned the shame. How do you get past that?
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing. I think talking about it with other people who have been through the same thing is tremendously important. That's why there's support groups. There's support groups for families of alcoholics, which is incredible programs. There are support groups for people with eating disorders, and then some people just naturally are able to surround themselves with compassionate people. And that's a skill I think one has to really build to say, you know, just to be discerning about who you want to kind of surround yourself with.
That's a very good point.
I think that's one really important thing, is to not feel so alone. And because I think facing one's fears alone is tough. It's really tough. But when you see that other people have the same fears and they maybe are making a different zig or a different zag from what you are, then it gives inspiration that, hey, maybe I can do that too.
Excellent. Thank you so much for answering that question. And for all of you out there, if you want to find out how much you feel in your communication, feel first, you can go to our online test, which is feelfirsttest.com. The test will evaluate you in each area of the feel model and give you a score and even recommend exercises that you can do so you can up your level of feel. Okay, Lisa, let's dive back into our discussion. So we were talking a bit about your book and Martha, the main character. How much of, if you can answer this question, how much of yourself is in this book and how much is just you thinking about and building experiences based on what you see that's out there?
Yeah, I think this book, well, I know this book is largely autobiographical. I actually experienced a lot of what I have written about. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's and live to tell the tale. I had a tremendous desire to make sense out of it. I think that was a lot of my feelings of I don't want to say urgency because it took me a really long time to write this book. And if it were so urgent, it would have been done a lot sooner. but a feeling of, you know, this need to say what happened to me really. And how I thought about it at the time and how this character that I've built, that I'm not that character, but the character is kind of loosely based on me. How that character deals with these tremendous challenges. So I had a need to tell my story, but I certainly didn't want it to be, you know, chalked up to, oh, this must have been such a cathartic experience for the author only, you know, because right. it was cathartic for me, but that's not the point of writing a novel. You know, the right. point of writing a novel primarily is to entertain and engage and in my opinion, to be funny also. I think that's a very important part of fiction writing. But to really communicate something that maybe hasn't been out there enough.
Absolutely. There's something that just kind of, I'm wondering if there was some kind of symbolism. And I'll just mention a part. I want all listeners and people who are watching the show to go and experience this book. So I'm going to be vague, but there was a part with the mother, cat, and the kittens. And something had happened in the book. And, you know, the kittens were bringing joy. Martha was so excited, right, when the kittens were born. They were Stephanie's, her best friends. And then something goes terribly wrong. And the mother cat, I think it was Stephanie's father was explaining how sometimes the mother cat isn't meant to be a mother. Was that meant to be symbolism? Because Martha's mother and the way that she was sort of treating her own children, the symbolism with the cat, what the cat did to the kittens, and Martha's mother and how she treated Martha and Hildy and Drew.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an obvious parallel, and it's also, I think, because there are people that are not meant to be mothers. There are women that have children that are not meant to be mothers, and that happens. And it's not all about, you know, life is not all about, oh, mom is always there for me. Not everybody is fortunate enough to have that, and sometimes the mother is really not equipped to be a mother. So it is that. It is a parallel to what's going on in the story. But I think it's also a way of showing that Martha, no matter what the situation is, Martha is going to find a way to blame herself. and I'm laughing, but it's really sad. I mean, it's true of so many survivors of childhood domestic violence and alcoholism and all these other issues that these poor children have to find a way to sort of make sense of what's going on, and blaming themselves is the way that they do that often.
Yeah, No, I saw that. And I mean, I even saw it with the older sister, Hildy, too, how she would blame if we didn't do this. It was always what we did. Lisa, if you can, share maybe, you know, you've been writing for years. Share either a big aha moment that was a huge learning experience that set you on this incredible writing journey, or an uh-oh moment, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, I have so many aha moments. I feel like I'm still learning so much. And one of the pleasures of this book for me is that I'm not young, and I really had no reason to think I could pull this off, actually, because although I had written The Measure of His Grief, which was my first novel, Shrug was a bigger challenge in a sense, because it, even though it was my second novel, because of the content and because of my relationship with the content, and just getting that balance of, am I too attached? Am I not attached enough? What's happening here with my process? So I think for me, you know, the most recent experience like that was, I actually did this. Wow. I actually pulled this off. So I think, that's a wonderful thing for a person who's not young to experience, because it's like, wait, if this is possible, what else might be possible for me? So I think that's kind of how I'm thinking about it right now. I've had many aha moments in my life, and luckily I've had a lot of those. And this one is big for me. This is a big deal for me.
I'm so happy you had that moment. And I hope you have so many more, because, you know, we'll be looking for future books from you. What do you think keeps you motivated to just write and write some more? Yeah. What keeps you going?
I think for me, it's a sense that sometimes, often I would say it's a sense of outrage. it's a feeling of, wait, why aren't they covering this in this particular way? Why isn't anybody saying this? Why isn't anybody saying that about some particular thing that's going on, or that is just a feature of life, maybe isn't current events per se, but that's a kind of a way of thinking about things that I feel isn't adequately represented. And that's actually a lot of what keeps me going. I really enjoy putting to words what isn't being talked about enough, in my opinion. So that's a lot of what keeps me going. And then I just, when I'm in the zone, I mean, writing can be very frustrating and exasperating when it's not going well. It's really awful. It's not fun.
Mind numbing.
Yeah. Oh God. But when it's going well, it's such a joy for me. It's just like no other joy in my life. So, that's what keeps me going.
I like that you said when you're in the zone. It's true. When you get into that groove and everything flows, there's nothing better than that as a writer.
Yeah.
So nice to experience.
That's right.
So what would you say, and I can't even believe that we're coming to the end of our lovely interview here, but I would love for you to give some advice to the Women Worldwide Network about experiencing challenges and tough obstacles. What would you say to them?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a tall order.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it has to do with what I'm saying about, you know, get all the support you can. Try to surround yourself with people who are compassionate and who can be accepting of you in the moment and accepting of how you are in the moment. Because I think, for a lot of us who grew up in these difficult households, it's more intuitive to seek out criticism and to seek out negativity. And it's the wrong intuition, but it's very deeply ingrained. And, so for me, as I was saying before about people facing challenges, I think, or people facing fears, I think it's tremendously important to get that support, to understand that you're not alone, that other people have experienced this, that you're not in charge of everything. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And that's a relief. and really being a little bit more discerning about boundaries with people who are tearing you down in some way that is difficult to deal with. And I think that's a really important thing, to recognize that you're not alone by surrounding yourself with these kind of people if you can. And help is out there. I really believe there's a lot of great support groups out there, and support, all kinds of support literature and hotlines and all kinds of other stuff. So recognizing that we're not alone, I think, in some of these challenges is very important.
I think so too. Thank you. That was great advice. Lisa, where can people find out more about you and your books?
Well, my book Shrug is available in your local independent bookstore, which they need our support more than ever now. So if you'd like to order Shrug from your local independent bookstore, they certainly can get that for you. And same with libraries. You can ask for it at your public library, and they will probably get it for you because it's an award-winning book. It just won a few awards, actually.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So libraries like award-winning books. And then, of course, Shrug is also available on Amazon and so on. And that has its advantages too, obviously. But I try to push the local independent bookstores when I can.
Excellent. And do you have a website, Lisa?
Yes. It's lisabravermoss.com. It's all one word. It's all lowercase. lisabravermoss.com. And the novel is called Shrug. And I love hearing from readers. So anyone who wants to write to me, I'm easily found. So I hope to hear from you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And everybody, here is Shrug. Go get a copy of this book. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your journey, your advice, and for showing up with your heart and your mind. We so appreciate your time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Deirdre. I really appreciated your interview, and I love talking to you.
Well, I feel the same way, and I want to thank all of you out there for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep your feedback coming. The more you share, we can line up guests like Lisa who can share their stories of hope or inspiration, challenges, and also to offer you advice. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay safe, focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.